when you own your own business and you're working for that money, you definitely value it much more. You appreciate the value of a single dollar more than just a typical person, because when you're doing your own business, you're never guaranteed anything.
Welcome to Future Titans, where we spotlight remarkable middle and high school entrepreneurs building real businesses that solve real problems. Every founder we speak to has received a $1,000 Formidable Fellowship grant. It's not equity, it's not debt, just a bit of inspiration capital to say keep doing what you're doing. If you're a student entrepreneur, we'd love to support you too. Just visit formidablefellowship.org to apply for a grant. It takes less than 5 minutes. And if you believe in empowering young builders, consider supporting our mission. All contributions are tax deductible. Now on to the conversation. All right, so today we've got a great young entrepreneur, Thomas Turner. He's the founder of Tommy's Mobile Detailing. Tommy, do you want to just kind of kick off and introduce yourself, where you go to school, what grade you're in, and maybe a little bit about the business you've built?
Gotcha. So my name's Thomas Turner. I am a senior now in Point Pleasant Borough High School. My business is Tommy's Mobile Detailing. Pretty much a rundown of what that is I detail other people's vehicles at their home. So it makes it easy and convenient for them.
Okay, awesome. And so the first thing I'd say when we got your application, the thing that jumped out was the website, right? It's a really good looking website. For those of you, maybe Tommy, just give a shout out to what the website is. But I'm curious, like, did you build that yourself? You know, how did that come to be? Because it's a really slick looking site.
Yeah, definitely. I appreciate that. So in 2020, I've tried other business models that kind of didn't work in my favor because there is something missing in each one. But in doing that, I surround myself in knowledge on how to make a website and how to make it look functional and easy to access and use. So, I mean, pretty much my knowledge for that came through 2020 in that area.
And so you said before you started the mobile detailing business, you were trying other kinds of businesses. Like, what did you try out?
Yeah, so in 2020, that's during COVID, so there isn't a lot of, I guess, face-to-face connections, I guess, being made at that time. But the big thing was, I guess, drop shipping and the online sourcing of that type of niche, I guess. But I tried a bunch of different drop shopping methods that didn't work out, I guess, great. But I made a bunch of websites doing that.
Okay, cool. So we're going to get to the business that succeeded, you know, which is the detailing business. But I'm curious, like, what was it about those businesses that didn't work, or that maybe, you know, wasn't doing it for you?
I think the biggest part was the marketing aspect. I feel like I rushed into I just wanted to make a business on my own. So I kind of rushed into it without doing prior research, and I didn't have enough knowledge to actually build, I guess, a reputation with it. So it kind of just fell apart right when I started it.
Got it. So it sounds like you figured out how to do like the building of the website, but then the getting the word out and actually kind of getting sales for the product. Is that where things kind of didn't go as planned?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, the beginning step, it seemed like it was good. And then I guess it was the outreach to the clients and everything that just kind of didn't push through.
Got it. What kind of stuff were you trying to sell?
It was more like the trendy, I guess, like what you would see on TikTok, like the trendy new like tool or something, like a little, I don't know, something that would just, I guess, make your life a little bit better.
Okay. Got it. Yeah. And so, you know, you had this kind of setback. You learned clearly like website development by doing that. What made you keep going?
The idea that it could be something bigger, I guess, kind of stuck with me. It wasn't necessarily the outcome that happened. I knew at some point if I kept pushing through it, something would work in my favor as long as I like kept learning and kept using the positives that came out of prior.
Okay. Got it. All right. So now let's shift gears to the detailing business. What was sort of the starting point for this? What made you want to get into this? How'd you come up with this idea? Walk us through that.
Okay, yeah. So when I turned 17, I got my first car, which that kind of sparked an interest in me because I liked cars in general. And when I got my first car, I was a neat freak. I would just constantly need to clean it. It was just, I don't know, it was just that type of thing. And in doing that, I guess I kind of fell in love with the process of it. It kind of stood out that I wanted to do something business related, and that was kind of what I liked doing. So it made sense for me to go into that area.
Got it. Okay. And so how'd you get your first customers, or how'd you, you know, so it sounds like you loved your car. You were sort of kind of detailing your own car. Walk me through how that goes from, you know, that to your business. And maybe actually just to give folks a sense for how big is the business and when did you start it?
Okay. So now to date, I've probably brought in about 3,000-ish. And I've had over 15 clients that, and I have some repeat clients that come back to me. So it started, so my mom actually owns a hair salon. So she already has her, I guess, built reputation, and she knows a lot of her clients and everything. So she, in the beginning, definitely helped a ton with pushing my name out and getting people to familiarize themselves with what I do. So that definitely helped in the beginning. And that got me my first like 4 or 5 clients.
Okay, got it. And so you're at 3,000 plus in revenue, and the business just started a few months ago. So in August of this past year. Okay, now that's amazing. Okay, so you get this sort of initial push with your mom's support. And so how have you grown the business since then?
So after those clients came in, I started doing some research on what the actual better optimization for the advertising would be. So I've been pretty much handing out flyers, business cards, house to house currently. And I've wanted to push through with paid advertisement, but I haven't had, I guess, the funds for that yet. So it's pretty much been organic. I've been posting on social media, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. But besides that, that's pretty much my guideline that I've went through.
Got it. Is there like one channel that you feel like is like the money channel for you? Is it the flyers? Is it IG? Like what works the best?
I think between Facebook and flyers, those two, I guess, are my biggest. I've definitely got a ton with flyers. They just kind of, because it's more, I guess, personable that you're giving it right to them. So it's kind of that connection already. But
okay. So you're like handing it to a person. You're not like leaving it under their windshield wiper or something.
So it depends, I guess, on the area, because sometimes you'll see people outside. But I mean, depending on where it is, normally it would be, I would hand it to their house if they're not outside. But if I see someone, like, I'll hand it right to them, like, talk, have a conversation, everything.
All right. So with regards to the marketing, walk me through maybe what works on Facebook. I mean, I think, like, you know, I think people generally think of Facebook as, like, you know, not the place that young people are, right? So,
yeah.
Like, what are you posting? Is there certain types of posts that work? Are you doing it in, like, local community groups or in neighborhood groups, or what kind of things work for you from a marketing perspective on Facebook?
Yeah, so my biggest thing, I guess, was giving out sales, like 20% off if you use this post. So, I mean, I've done that a bunch, which kind of, that built my Facebook page. And then I've been posting in groups, like neighborhood groups that just in the local area that I service, that it kind of benefits because, I mean, you still get responses that way too.
Okay, that's great. And so you mentioned discounts. So like what's, you know, pricing when we talk to fellowship grantees is like the thing that they like almost always start off and get wrong and then they get right over time. Like I'm curious, what's pricing look like today? And maybe do you remember what it started off at?
Yeah. So I mean, starting off from now and then, I've definitely raised the price about $70 because in the beginning, like you just said, it kind of, you don't understand your value yet, being that you're new and it's just kind of a new idea that you just don't understand. But once you put more research into it and understand your time is valuable, the price definitely raises. So my current price is like if I detail an interior and exterior of a sedan, typically it's about $240.
Okay. All right. So as someone who's never gotten their car detailed, what's the difference between what you do and just me going to like the local car wash for whatever, $40 and getting it done? Like why, what's the difference?
Definitely. And that's a wide ass question. I get that a lot. So when you go through a car wash, they're actual materials that they have in the car wash, that kind of like the brushes and everything that hit on your car, you might not see it in the first, I guess, few cycles that you use it, but after some time, and it's happened with my car, I kind of saw it myself, you will get paint scratches, swirls, you get a bunch of like deformations through the paint that it becomes very noticeable after a certain point. And I mean, with detailing, you also clean every area. So it's not like your rims, I guess, during like a car wash, if you just run through one, it won't fully deep clean your rims. It won't deep clean your interior. What we offer is pretty much a spotless car.
Okay. All right. And so who tends to be your, you know, you have a target customer like that you find is, you know, if you see this type of person, they're the most likely to become a customer of your business?
Yeah, definitely. So as of right now, my, I guess, outreach customer right now is normally like an older, not older, but I guess someone that has multiple kids, that if they, I mean, you'll see it in the cars, it's definitely like the kids don't care about the cars like the parents do. So it's typically like the moms that have kids that'll get their car detailed.
Okay. Okay. And so if I go back to pricing, it sounds like one of the maybe mistakes early on was not charging enough. Would you say that's the biggest mistake you've made so far?
Yeah, I think that was definitely one of my biggest ones, because something you also learn in this area, pricing lower isn't great. It doesn't give you anything. People might think if you, I guess, price lower, you'll get more clients, but that's in reality, that's not how that works with detailing. It's for the higher price you pay, you're getting a more, I guess, pristine clean.
Got it. And so you get better. It sounds like, do you get better clients as a result of your pricing? Okay. Okay. Got it. And so the one thing I don't understand is, it sounds like you said, you know, pricing for a sedan. So if somebody shows up with a Honda Civic and somebody shows up with a, I don't know, like a Mercedes E-Class, you know, both sedans, there's not a, that's not the vector upon which you price based on sort of the cost of the car. Is that right?
Yeah. So, I mean, I've seen lower end cars, I guess, be trashed. And then I've seen higher end cars that are still spotless that they just want a touch up detail. The reason, that being the reason why I don't vary my prices based on the actual level of the car that it is. My prices vary on the type of car. So if it's a sedan, SUV, truck, that's where my price gaps, I guess, widen. So like for an SUV, it'll up like $15 to $20. And then the same thing goes for trucks.
Okay. Okay. Any kind of interesting or wild detailing stories that you've had?
Yeah. So, I mean, with what you just said, I guess, with the pricing barrier, like someone asked me before, actually, they had a Honda Civic. It was one of the worst, I guess, details I've done. And I mean, it was dirty in the inside. And he actually asked me, he went, like, why don't you charge, I guess, more for higher end cars? And I used him as an example, because the fact is my time varies very highly when it's a lower end car and I have to do more work than if it's a higher end car and I barely have to touch it.
Okay. All right. That's a really good insight into pricing. Okay. Very interesting. So remind me again how much revenue you've done since August.
So I've done about probably 3,300.
Okay, so 3,300, really, I mean, it's phenomenal. I think there's a bunch of startups out in Silicon Valley who've raised millions of dollars who haven't done $3,300 yet. So, how is making money changed, you know, your mindset or your sort of relationship with money?
Yeah, when you own your own business and you're working for that money, you definitely value it much more. You appreciate the value of a single dollar more than just a typical person guaranteed income. Because when you're doing your own business, you're never guaranteed anything. You're not guaranteed to make this set amount a week, because, I mean, that depends on the business.
Yeah. Okay. That's great. And how much time are you spending on the business today? Like, you know, what's an average week look like? And is there any seasonality in the business? Is like the winter better or worse than spring and summer?
Definitely, yeah. So I guess during like the summer, spring, and even fall, I guess, is the biggest times for detailing. Winter definitely slows down a bunch because of the fact that it's too cold to do like exteriors, unless you have a garage or in that sense. Because I mean, people's water is getting shut off now. It's the cold, especially in New Jersey, it changes everything detailing wise. So I mean, in the summer and spring, it's those are the hottest times. So I'm pretty much, I'm working the most during that time. So I'll put in a bunch of hours during the spring and summer that it'll change in the winter.
Got it. And what does that look like? Give me a sense for hours in a week. Like how busy are you?
Okay. So if I mean, realistically, I, during the summer, I'll have like one car detail at least, either daily or by, it kind of varies based on the day. But I mean, sometimes it'll be one every other day and one every day. And I mean, hourly, it takes me about, let's say, 2 hours for an interior or exterior. And if it's both, it'll take me like 4. So I mean, I could be working from like 25 hours to 30 a week.
Okay. Okay. All right. So it's pretty significant. And have you kind of brought in friends or others to help out ever? Or right now you're doing all the work?
Yeah. So I mean, right now my girlfriend definitely helps me a bunch with like sometimes if I need, I guess, a double set of hands, because it definitely helps with the inside. But yeah, I mean, besides that, it's pretty much just me.
Okay. Okay. Gotcha. So let's, you know, I think what you've built already is like something that a lot of young builders would love to get to. You know, if somebody was just starting out and came to you, Tommy, and was like, hey, you know, what should I do? Right? Like, what advice would you give to somebody?
Yeah, I mean, the best advice I guess I could give someone that's just starting out, like a business in general, do your research on your niche. It's, you can't know enough about what you're doing. There's always something, some challenge that'll, you'll definitely face. And that, especially in detailing, there's always something different with every car you do. So definitely doing research would benefit you a ton.
Cool. So on that last topic of doing your research, I'm curious, like, where did you learn to build, you know, where did you even get the beginnings of building a business? Like, what did you learn at school? What, you know, if you didn't learn it at school, where else did you learn it? Maybe walk us through how this all came together.
Gotcha. So for, I mean, detailing in specific, when I was, I guess, beginning out and trying to research how to do it and like how to market and everything for that specific branding, it's pretty much like three names I like focused on a ton in YouTube and just in general. It was definitely Hudson Archer, Detail Groove, and Hunter's Mobile Detailing. Those three, they go in depth about the pretty much how to detail as a whole and like the actual back end stuff of it, which is like the marketing, the outreach to clients. So, I mean, they went through that a ton. And like off of, I guess, detailing the actual business side of it, I definitely got a lot from my two teachers, my business teacher, Mr. Fisher, and my math teacher, Mrs. Reed. They definitely helped me a ton with my numbers and learning about, again, the back end stuff of it, that it's not just you go out and do it. It's how you get like the analytics of it, I guess, that you're getting the data that you need to keep progressing.
Okay, got it. All right. So the YouTube, like the YouTube channels, like, you know, that you mentioned, they're teaching you not just the techniques of detailing, but actually how to grow your business as well, right? It sounds like they do both. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, got it. All right. And then your teachers, and what classes were those teachers teaching you at school?
So my teacher, Miss Reed, she is my math teacher currently.
Okay.
And then Mr. Fisher is my entrepreneurship teacher.
Oh, nice. Okay. And so within your math class, you're learning, is that sort of part of like financial literacy, or like how did you, you know, because business sometimes I wouldn't think of that being the normal thing you're learning in math class. Like,
yeah,
what?
Yeah. So I'm currently, it's called discrete math, which it's pretty much like you bringing math into real life. So in that class, I guess we had a project that we pitch our businesses, and I, being that I have my own, I kind of use that as a baseline, and we figured out pretty much our profit margins, how to, I guess, price to-wise, like what to price your services. So, I mean, you definitely learn a lot of the financial, like, analytics, I guess, for it.
Okay, nice. All right, that's great. That's, like, very practical math. I love it. So what, in, you know, if you could kind of wave a magic wand and sort of have school be taught in a different way, is there anything about school that you wish they spent more time on, or maybe they didn't even spend any time on, that you wish they taught you?
Yeah, I think definitely, I think there should be more entrepreneurship area classes that pretty much produce more than just an introductory of it. I think there should be a more in-depth advanced classes, I guess, to like piggyback off of the introduction class.
Got it. And where do the introduction classes tend to stop? Is that more at like the idea stage, or like where do they not go?
Yeah, so I mean, they pretty much bring you through your numbers if you make a business, like your name, your logo. So I mean, they definitely do teach you a ton. I wish they would, I guess, teach you, like you said before, with websites. I wish they taught you how to build a website, how to, I guess, how to find exactly what you want to do and you like doing it too.
Okay. I want to actually, sorry, I should have asked this earlier. I want to go back to something. So you're handing out these flyers, and like, you know, there's a certain amount of rejection that you might get in doing that, right? Where did you, you know, have you sort of always kind of been like fearless in that regard? Or was it just like, hey, I tried it and then you realized it wasn't that bad? Like, you know, how'd you get used to the idea of like, hey, not everybody is going to be into this, and maybe some people might even be rude at times? Like, yeah, where, how'd you develop sort of that thicker skin?
I think most of that came from, again, like the people I mentioned before. Like when I was in the research stage, they definitely mentioned that a ton, that you will get rejected and you will, people won't like your prices. There's a different type of customer for you that you want and that just are out there. I've been rejected a ton with, especially like pricing wise, some people that don't understand, I guess, what detailing the, I guess, potential is for it, they kind of just shut it down the second they hear the price, because they're so used to the $40 car wash gets run through.
Okay. That's great. Maybe looking forward, what's the plans? You going to college? You going to keep growing the business? Like, still figuring it out?
Yeah, so I mean, my plan right now for college, I'm definitely going to go to the local community college. I think for me, it makes the most sense right now, being that I want to stay local, grow my business, and it definitely gives me that, I guess, room to do that.
Okay, that's tremendous. And what's the dream kind of for the business?
Yeah, I mean, definitely at some point, I want to have my own employees that I could overwatch the actual process of everything going on, because I mean, doing that, I'm able to branch out and open more businesses, either same or different. It's, I have that opportunity to do that.
Okay. All right. So you want to scale this. I love it. Okay, great. Anything else, Tommy, that, you know, you think folks should know, any kind of other guidance, things that, you know, if you could have a do over, you'd think about doing a different way?
I think if I were to do a do-over, I would definitely research more on season applications, what to do throughout different seasons, that it's not the same, I guess, you're not approaching it the same throughout every season. There's always something different that happens.
Okay. And so any thoughts on where the Formidable Fellowship grant is going to be invested to grow the business? Where are you thinking about putting that money?
I definitely think the grant will help a ton with my funding, with like paid ads, because I definitely wanted to venture into that, because I mean, that's such a wide, I guess, spread just demographic that you could reach through paid ads. So I mean, I think that's a big aspect of it. And then I could also get higher end materials that my customers would appreciate.
Okay, nice. And do you think the ads would be, is that Facebook or Nextdoor, or do you have a sense for like where you're going to experiment first?
Currently, I'm still in the research process of that entire, I guess, area, because I'm not so familiar with paid ads.
Okay.
But I mean, I'm definitely looking into like Google ads, Facebook ads, just to familiarize myself with it, I guess.
Okay, nice. Well, we have a couple of other grantees who've, I think, figured out Nextdoor, some, and which I think is like a kind of a good community, has some good muscle in sort of community, local community marketing. So we'll try to introduce you to them. I think you guys might be able to chop it up and learn something. So that's great. Awesome, Tommy. Well, this is great. You know, fantastic business you've built. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Really, really impressive. If folks want to learn more about you, learn more about Tommy's mobile detailing, like where should they go?
I take emails. So my email is tommysdetailing08742@gmail.com.
Okay. And the website, just for those who haven't seen it, we'll put this in the show notes, is tommysdetailing.net. It's very impressive. It looks really slick. And, you know, as Tommy mentioned, he built this after trying some drop shipping businesses. So kind of learned a skill and then took it over into the business that actually is doing really well. So it looks great. But tommysdetailing.net. And we'll put his email and the website in the show notes. So thanks again. Thanks, Tommy. This was great.
Thank you for having me on.